We're going live.
We are live.
And we're live. We are live. What embargo episode? Onsay, I'm one of your hosts. Big Tuna.
Onsay.
I know. I actually had to figure out how to pronounce that because I was about to say Onse. But it's Onsay.
Onsay. Awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
I am your fellow co-host, the one and only Mr. Catfish.
Mr. Catfish, what's going on, Mr. Catfish?
I'm fresh off of my tour.
What are you smoking?
I just came back from tour, dude. I was in the LBC. Do you know what the LBC is?
Lower British Columbia?
No, that's where Snoop lives, bro.
Snoop lives? Snoop Dogg?
The LBC. Long Beach, dog.
Long Beach?
I was chilling in Long Beach, dude.
Long Beach.
Yep, I played a wine bar last night, and you would have dug it.
I would have, dude. It's a little bit. Great. That's a lot cooler than Lower British Columbia, but
Oh, it was so cooler than Lower British Columbia. And then I went on an epic taco truck mission last night, and we
fish
had to
tacos?
Scour the streets. No. I had to scour the streets of East LA for carne asada. You don't eat fish tacos in East LA, dude. You don't. It's just that you fish tacos when you're at the Central Coast area, yeah, but not East LA.
Not East
it's
LA.
It's all about carne asada and the hottest hot sauce you could find. So I ended up hitting two taco trucks on the way back where I was going, and it was freaking awesome, dude.
Nice.
What about you? Weren't you on another show today? I've been off social media, but. I've been driving all day. So.
I was on Kiss My Ash Radio with Smoking Cigars, based out of all over Florida.
Nice.
Yeah, it was a good time, you know. It's a brief moment. It's like 5 minutes, so it's kind of like having $5 and having sex with a prostitute. So
that's still getting busted in the nut. It's not a bad thing.
Exactly. It's one of those things. No, it was a good time. Nice. You know, Smokin's a really good retailer in the United States, but we're here today to talk about Habanos, and I don't know what you're smoking, but I'm smoking something special. What are you smoking, Captain?
I am smoking a Juan Lopez number two, my first.
My How
first
is it?
Juan Lopez number two. It was very floral in the first third. I'm getting right in the middle, and it just has this great freaking sweet spot to it, and it's freaking awesome. It is so good. It's very good. And for as young as this is, because I know this is 2013, right?
It's young.
This is really, 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 really good.
It's young.
This is amazing young, in all honesty. So I'm very, very happy with it. Yes. What about you? What are you smoking?
I'm smoking a Ramon Ayones. Gigantes. Exactly, 2007, which I thought was I had a couple of them. It's my last one. But man, it's delicious.
Not bad.
So, but.
Well, let's go into our segment of what's been smoked good for you lately. Because I know we kind of talked about having, I think it'd be good for us to say what's been good for you lately. You know, I did the review on the Hoyo Epicure number 2 recently, and that just freaking blew my mind. I loved it.
It's a great
set. Today, on my way home, blew my mind. And I can't remember if you liked it or not, but I finally fired up a Monte Cristo Petite number 2.
Oh, it's a good. God, that's a good cigar.
Didn't you like that?
God, like it's it? Great. I loved it.
Oh, my God.
I Holy loved shit. It.
Yeah,
it's incredible.
I didn't know. Most fresh Monty sucks balls, you know, and they need a little while to kind of rest. And I had a bunch. I have a bunch of them. I have three or four of them in my travel humidor, and I just haven't got around to smoking one yet. And I saw that and was like, hey, I can chew on that while I'm in traffic today, you know. And holy crap, dude. It was freaking amazing. I wish I wouldn't have wasted it in traffic because, you know, when I'm driving, I never get a straight burn. You can't. It's impossible. But oh, my God. It was freaking.
Oh, yeah.
ridiculous. Ridiculously good.
It's a great
Floored, in all honesty.
That's a great smoke. What else you been smoking, man? Smoke those D5s,
which we're going to talk about today, and I really haven't been smoking much. I've been trying to bust out more NC stuff for IPCPR coming up, and
smoked a Signorile. Honestly,
the Signorile, that was freaking fantastic, amazing. Surprised that more people didn't like it on. Didn't freak out about it on Cigar Federation. That kind of blew my mind. I thought it was. I think that's the kind of cigar that should hit a lot of palates. It's freaking amazing. Jose did a great job with it.
I'm gonna tell you this, and this is a spoiler alert because not many people are gonna watch. He's got a Perfecto coming. You're gonna go ape shit over it.
Good. I can't wait. Now I'm gonna hit him up.
Yeah. Well, don't hit him up now. It's down low because I'm hoping Jose doesn't notice. But I will tell you before it comes out and when it comes out, you will go ape shit. It is incredible.
Okay. That's awesome. I'm looking forward to that. But I did do three reviews on customs. Yeah. So I have custom reviews coming on three different customs. That's mainly it. So the Robaina Farmies, dude, were holy crap, that was good. I think I gave you one of those if you were in there.
Yeah,
if you
okay.
Like two, I can't remember. But what about you? What has been speaking well for the tuna?
You know, I got some H. Upman Magnum 46s from 2005. I lit one up yesterday. No, okay. Wait a minute. Lit one up yesterday. It was awesome.
Golden?
It was just incredible. Just phenomenal. I smoked some Partagas D5s, which was just terrific. You know, and I know some people were talking about consistency with that cigar and whether or not it's actually going to be, you know, whether or not it's consistently a good cigar, but I'll tell you one thing. I had no problems with it. I thought it was great. Por Larinaga Petit Coronas, the Panatellas. That was a really good cigar. That's a really good affordable cigar. And then I smoked that Vegas Robaina, Don Alejandro, you sent me. That double Corona, which was just breathtaking.
Yeah, it is.
It's just, and you know, it's funny.
I got that box. When I got my degree. So
it's, you know, it's funny. I just smoked the new TAA for Crown Heads, the Angel's Anvil, which is a double Corona.
Yeah.
And I've said it before, and it's not promoting. Well, I mean, it is promoting Cuba and it's promoting Habanos, and it's one of those things you can say I'm just being biased, but. Cuba and Habanos knows how to make a double Corona well. And for some reason, a lot of these non-Cuban manufacturers, well, these manufacturers outside of Cuba, they just can't seem to make them. They just fail every time. And I'm like, what are you doing? Stop trying to make them or take your time on it. It's like they just lose focus. They don't get that flavor profile from beginning to end. And it's, you know, it's after you smoke that Vegas Robaina, you should be like, here's your standard. Go off of that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, which makes sense. I mean, you know, I think about, you know, a good Lucy or a good Punch with Alejandro, and it's like, there's nothing close to it.
No, there's nothing that compares to it. And you would think they could do it. And I, you know who I'd be interested, if Elogio made a double Corona, if they could do it.
Well, it'd probably be good.
I bet it would be good. I bet they could do it. But they just won't do it. So, that's what I've been smoking in terms of...
Should we go into the D5 then? I totally forgot to pull my review up, so I don't even remember. Oh, you know what? I can look at my notes on my phone. Hold on.
The D5, man. The small, D5,
that's what I...
It's a petite Robusto like no other. Do you want to pull up your notes? And I mean, we both smoked a 2012 D5.
Yeah, same thing.
Same thing.
I prefaced my review with, I personally, Partagas is more misses than hits with me, I would say.
Yeah.
To me, it's just kind of like the Partagas Short is just so good. And then the Lusitania is so good. Like, why do I need anything else out of the line? And I know everybody wigs out over the D4. And I can't tell you how many times I've revisited the D4. And every time I revisit it, I just kind of go, eh, whatever. It does nothing for me. And obviously there's a bunch of people who love it to death. But it's almost like a waste if I smoke it, in all honesty, mm-hmm. because it just, I don't like it at all. It's like,
it doesn't do anything for you. Yeah.
So it was funny because when we were talking about what should we do this show, and I was like, oh, let's do the D5. That way I can say it sucks and we'll chew each other out. Talk about how shitty your palate is, and you can talk about how shitty my palate is, and how I'm a pussy and only like mild bodied crap. And I honestly was extremely surprised with the blend, which kind of trips me out because, it's like I didn't even look up the size difference, but what's the size difference between the D4 and the D5? Is it just shorter, same ring gauge, or what?
Same ring gauge. It's only about 0.7 inches shorter, but it makes a huge difference, doesn't it?
Dude, I what's weird was I remember it being really really floral in the beginning. I had dried orange, like that. Like when you're eating trail mix. You know what I mean? And there'll be like little dried mandarin oranges in it. And it kind of has that. Like it's not like that. That it's not like eating an actual orange where it's bright and citrusy. It's more just kind of like smooth, sugary, citrusy taste.
Yeah.
That's what I got that out of it. I got nutty, creamy, long finish, real stout, retrohale, earth, cedar. And then in the second and final third, I started getting these cream soda notes that just blew my mind, that I loved. And the last part, a lot of people talk about, and I hate even saying the word because it pisses me off, but Cuban twang. I don't know why anybody ever describes it. Yeah, the signature. Oh, it had this twang to it. It's like you're obviously not from Bakersfield, Texas, because you have no idea what twang is. That would be a Telecaster, you dumbass. To me, I liken it to like a jerk seasoning. There's a Cuban restaurant here in town. And it's just absolutely fantastic. The chef is amazing, 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 amazing. They do some jerk. And a really, really good jerk typically will be spicy but not peppery, not like there's no burn to it, It has just this really, at least this really unique ethnic aftertaste in your mouth. And when you have a good ethnic meal like that, whether it be from Cuba or any of those, Peru, Chile, El Salvador, all these southern countries, South American countries that have just really, really fantastic food. That's what it reminds me of, And that final third just had that freaking amazingly, earthy spice that was, it was just unbelievable. It was really good. It was actually too much for me. But knowing how young it is,
it's a young cigar. And there we go.
It blew me away. What's that?
Somebody talking smack. You were gone for a little bit.
I was gone for a little bit.
It froze for about 2 seconds. I was like, oh, there it goes. It seemed a little choppy. I don't know.
Interesting. Anyways, what I was saying was that I found three really solid changes in it. And all of them very, very, very good, distinct changes. And so it was maybe a little too much for me. And so for my taste, I would say it's definitely worth, like, if I didn't have any in my humidor, I would kind of get pissed off and be, you know, maybe, I need at least box. 5 to 10 should be in my humidor at all times. Again, that's at least my rating, if you will.
You know, for
it's
me,
tough because it seems like they're. Go ahead.
No, I thought you were done. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say that the one thing that I found kind of odd is that it's more expensive than the. It seems like it's more expensive than the D4.
Yeah, and you know, looking back on it, for some reason, I feel like it was basically just as expensive or more than the D4, and I'm like, oh, that's kind of odd. But you know what? After the experiences I've had, I think it's worth it. Now, there was a couple people when we posted this, they were like, "Hey, you know what? I've had a lot of inconsistencies with the D5, and maybe we just got a really good box. I don't know.
Maybe.
But it was a good box, and I'd take those over the D4 any day of the week.
Yeah, I mean, I can tell you right now, I've smoked at least a dozen D4s in my day, from aged to fresh. I've never had one do that to me. You know, never had one do that.
I've never, you know, I've had a couple young D4s that have smoked really well and have produced the level that this cigar did. Just a couple, though, but I've never had this D5 box. I've smoked a bunch of them. And they've been consistently solid. Much more so than any D4. And it's one of those things, God, I don't even want to. I'd love to see where it is in age, and the problem is that I just can't stop smoking them. It's this easy, you know, basically less than 4.5 inches by 50 ring gauge. It's an easy, quick smoke that's just boom, and it's a great particus. And, you know, I mean, I put it over the D4 any day of the week.
How much time do you get out of them on average, would you say?
It depends, because there are times where I really sit down and I enjoy them and I'll get like an hour plus out of them. But if I'm just kind of smoking it and kind of smoking it probably pretty quick, probably an hour, less than an hour, 45 minutes or so. But I guess it's a debate on whether or not you think that's a fast smoke or whatnot. But I think a lot of people could probably smoke this in a period of 45 to an hour without any problems.
Yeah, you know, I snuck it in. I had to read a couple chapters right before I went to class, and I bring it, snuck it in and out, you know, and it seemed to go really fast. And so I guess my only complaint would be, given the cost, you know, I could probably stretch a short almost as long, but
yeah.
I'm interested now to go back and revisit the short, because as much as I love the shorts, I'm interested if they're as flavorful, because that was really, I mean, it was an extremely flavorful cigar.
It was. It was a good cigar.
And that was, how long have those been out? Do you know how long they've been out? Did you look that up at all?
God, I have to look it up.
Because it was
2011. It was 2011.
That's when it came out.
Yeah, so it's only been about, so you have to think about February 2011. God, it's only been out about 3 years. Not that long, especially for Habanos.
And it was a limited edition in 2008, correct?
I don't think
so. Wasn't it interesting. It was a limited edition, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. 2008 was that Petit Robusto Limitada. And, you know, the interesting thing is Partagas is very – God, they really have a lot of limited editions. They just really – one of those things, they release a limited edition, boom, it becomes a regular production cigar. But, it was – 2008, it was a Limitada. You're right. Good call on that one.
Wow. Interesting.
But it's – I mean, it's a good stick, and I can see why people want it. But now what I will tell you is that – I had a friend who was down there at the show, and he was smoking the Habanos Festival, and he smoked the Serie D number sixes. And I asked him, I was like, honestly, how are they? He's like, and he's a big Serie D number four guy. He's like, they're great. He's like, these are terrific. I mean, short cigar. I mean, it's. I'm thinking, and maybe I'm going to be completely wrong here, but I think the Serie D number sixes are going to be up there with the fives. I think they're just going to be terrific. I mean, it's a short little stick, but I mean, 3.5 by 50. I mean, it's almost like a. It's bigger than the half Corona, but I think the sixes are going to be a big hit this year and next year.
Yeah, that's interesting. There is a movement on these little short fatties, you know.
Very big movement.
We're going to talk about the brand here, which that kind of goes along that line of thinking too. So that's very interesting. Anything else?
That's it. I mean, this is a great stick. You know, honestly, guys, if you have your opportunity between choosing a D4 or D5, right now I'm saying go D5.
D5 all day.
D5.
Yeah, I would highly.
So should we talk about Gerson now? You want to move on to that?
Move on to what?
Our next subject.
Yeah, let's move on to the next
Vigueros.
So Vigueros, whatever the hell it is. I don't know what the hell it is.
It's farmer.
I'm going to speak right next.
It's farmer.
I know, it stands for farmer.
Yeah, it's redneck. Yeah, it stands for farmer, man.
Which means I'll probably like it. Yeah, I love the farm, dude. I used to live like a block from the farm.
You're all about the farmers, man.
My dad grew up in the farming industry.
We've been in the farming industry my whole life, man. You got to look out for the farmers.
And this cigar has been made in the farming area. It's made in Pinar del Rio.
Yeah, which is interesting. The background on it, I didn't look up any of the years or anything, but it was initially kind of a real limited release, made in the same factory as Trinidad, Pinar del Rio, and region was from, and it's all like real short, skinny, long and skinnies, and pigtail caps, and they just sucked. Like, I don't know anybody who liked them. We were talking about it for a second before the show. I was like, did anybody like them? Because they sucked balls. Like they were like worse than Piedra, you know, or
they're
anything
bad.
Else out there.
They're bad, man. I mean, I tried to smoke one. It was terrible, and I couldn't smoke it anyways. I had issues, but it's like they're bad. I don't know anyone who is like, I love Vigueros. I love the farmers. They hated them. They hated the farmers.
Yeah, that's weird. So last year, we were talking about this earlier, but last year at the festival, they had supposedly re-released.
They resurrected the brand. But then
they
took
the brand back.
Yeah, but then it took about a year before it actually came back.
Well, no, because they were slated to release, and I know right at the Habanos Festival last year, 2013, in March, end of March, you know, there was press releases in Cigar Aficionado and all the other blog websites who picked them up. But I think it was Gordon Mott came out and was smoking them and said something about them, and they did an article and said they would be out in, you know, within the month. And I remember at the time I had, was talking to a friend of mine in the industry. And said, hey, you know, if you hear about these things, let me know. I'm interested to hear what they sound like. It was a rebrand, all new sizes, new blending, new packaging, whole nine yards. The packaging looked great, which I'll show everybody that in a second. And so, you know, I was excited to check them out. And I heard that they were, supposedly the word on the street was they were going to be priced like the Jose Piedra, so cheap, you know, $2, $3, $4 smokes. And the sizes were. It was kind of like a Corona Extra, I guess. It's 4 3/4 by 46. Another short Robusto type smoke, like the D4 or D5, is 4 3/8 by 52. And then a short Pyramid, 4 by 46. And, God, judging by how well that freaking Monte Cristo Petite Number 2 smoked today, I can't wait to see the short pyramid and see how it smoked. Because, to me, it just seems like a neat little size. But I guess their goal was, okay, we'll rebrand it, put out some slick new packaging. It'll be economically priced, whatever. And then nothing happened. They didn't show up. And then all of a sudden, this year, it was, I think David Savona was saying, okay, they're actually coming out this year. So I don't know if that means they... we tried to find some information on it, and I don't know if you did. I don't think you did, but I couldn't find anything on if there was blend issues or packaging issues or what. So who knows what went wrong, but I have recently seen I've seen them popping up on some of the social media sites out there.
It was on Instagram because I remember reading about them in 2013. I was like, oh, Vaguaris is coming back. I thought they were redoing everything. I thought, my guess is they were reblending, repackaging everything just because it needed it. And then there was nothing for about an entire year. And then a little while ago, next thing you know, I just see all these little I was on Instagram, and all these people smoking these new Vigueros. I was like, holy crap, forgot about these things. They're back.
Yeah, and then Simon on our forum, forums.com. Manoscritic.com had posted, hey, the Vigueros are coming, and it just kind of reminded me. I was like, well, shit. So I looked around to see, and I still haven't seen anything other than Savona said something, like I said, in late March or April. I want to say he wrote something on Cigar Aficionado about them coming back, but further than that, really hadn't seen anything. So I did compile some pictures just to kind of show everybody so that they could see what we got going on. So I'm going to start a screen share.
Do it.
All right, you got my screen up?
Yeah, I'm focused on you. There it is, Vagueros.
Okay, so what we have here is you've got this is the Corona, and then the little short Robusto and the short Pyramid. This was part of their advertisement for the festival in 2013 that they put out, real slick looking. I love the V. It's got the V with the leaf inside it. I think the packaging looks great. The band looks great.
It's a lot of fancy packaging for a very small brand.
Mm-hmm. I mean, when you consider all the other brands that are out there, this is very much a very slick, modern looking type band.
Yeah.
It doesn't look, Not that the other bands look dated, but most of the other bands are very traditional, other than like the Baheke and the Pyramid Extra. This is a very, very much a new kind of foray into the world of modern packaging for them, I guess, if you will. Here's a couple pictures of them.
Yeah.
And then apparently they're selling them in tens.
Yeah, they're in tens.
So they're going to come in tens.
Yeah,
it's 16, which is freaking cool. I mean, look at that 10. That 10 is badass, dude.
I mean, I want to buy them.
I love little things like this because I can put trinkets and whatnot inside them, and to me, I just think that is the freaking coolest looking thing. Then they come in a little bundle inside, right?
I'm gonna have to get some of these.
I don't know.
To get some of these in November when I'm up in Canada. They gotta have them.
Yeah, if they that would be great. I mean. To me, it's, obviously, they spent some money on the packaging.
Yeah.
And they must have invested some time into the packaging and whatnot. So it makes me wonder if the packaging is the reason why they took a year to come out or if they just sucked. Because I had heard a couple guys last year saying, they may need some time. And by all means, I mean, God, there's a million Cuban cigars out there that need time. So maybe they just held them back before they released them, or maybe they needed more time to get the packaging together. Who knows? I mean, that's the one thing that sucks about Cuba is they don't say anything.
No, it's not one of those. For all the non-Cuban guys, hell, man, it took. Pete Johnson was supposed to release his Black Label Coronas, Corona Gordas last year in spring of 2013, and it finally came out early 2014 because he got held up because of the jars. So if he gets held up, you have to think they're going to hold up because I guarantee those things are being made in China just like everything else. So they probably just got held up because of that, and I'm sure...
Which is interesting, because if that was the case, it makes you wonder if all these cigars have been sitting in aging rooms, and now that they're hitting the market, everybody's like, oh, crap, these are really good.
I bet you
they're old in 2013, you know what I mean?
I bet you they didn't have the cigars waiting around. My guess is that that tobacco was used for something else. But maybe it was.
Yeah,
maybe
true.
Maybe we're wrong, though. Let's think on the positive side of things.
Who knows?
But I'm very interested in re-smoking with them, because I do want to have a positive experience, or at least some experiences with them. And I think it'd be good for us to talk about it, at least for the farmers.
Oh, absolutely. I'm all about the farmers. No, and really, I mean, I think for the economic price point, you know, it's a no-brainer. And dude, everybody online right now is seeming to be freaking out about them. So they must be smoking well young. We'll let everybody know as soon as these things hit the market. We'll be traveling out of the country and visiting our local friendly neighborhood, local LCDH,
We'll walk down the block and pick some up for everyone. I am intrigued about it, because it's one of those brands that it's just like, I'm very interested in it.
So the next thing I got for you, which you'll freaking drool over, and everybody will drool over who's watching, who knows what they're talking about. One of the guys on the forum, on Cigar Federation, he'd got a humidor, and it was from like his brother-in-law. And I always don't say the names just because, but he knows who he is, and he can contact me. He already contacted me, but... got a humidor from his brother-in-law, and it was a Romeo and Julieta commemorative Habanos humidor. And I've seen these before, because my shop owner, he always gets a few of them from the festival every year. He's got a buddy that gets a few of them from the festival, and he'll have them in his shop, and he sells them for like $400 or $500, and they're beautiful. He had an El Rey de Mundo one that was gorgeous, and they're really, really like nice, you know, amazing quality humidors. And so anyways, the guy had post a picture of this humidor that he got from his brother-in-law, and I just said, hey, that's cool. You know, I wonder if there's any of the cool, you know, that might have been something that had some really interesting sticks in it. If there's anything interesting, let me know, you know, if you want to know. So then I get one of the emails, you know, one of our classic emails, hey, are these legit? And my response when I saw him was like, in caps, like, holy shit, yes, these are legit. I'll break them down on the show, dude. Check this out. Let me get the screen share going on. Is there some wickedness about to go? All right, is my screen up? See it?
It's up. It's focused.
Okay. First one. Boom.
Oh.
That, my friend, is a 2003 Cohiba Double Corona Edition Limitada. So if this is legit, it should be 7.6x49. Now, this is the only picture I got of it, so I can't, you know, give a complete entire breakdown of the cigar. But just by looking at
bands it... Bands look good. Everything looks good.
Bands legit. Triple cap. All the veins look good. That is a cigar that would easily sell for $60, $70, $80, $100, maybe even more. God knows. I just know that a lot of the, you know... The edition limitada Cohibas from that are that old, that have 10 years on them, sell for a lot of money.
Yeah.
So, the first cigar that you have here, my friend, is a very rare winner that should be saved for a special occasion. And, you know, not to be outdone by the next cigar. Here we have, and I can't identify this without knowing the exact size, but this is a Punch. The band says Edition Regional, obviously.
Oh my God! Don't tell me that's one of the original Regional editions, like one of the first ones.
Hold on here. So, you see that the band is very old. right? You can tell the band is old. So, the first two regional editions made by Punch were in 2005. Super Pinos was a 4.3x42.
For Switzerland and Italy. Small, that petite Coronas, like,
which is like a same size as a Corona Junior, Party of Short, and whatnot. Or they also made in 2005 a Robusto for the Swiss.
Yeah.
And the reason why I know it's got to be a 2005 is because 2005 was the only year they put these edition regional bands on. This regional edition specifically. So,
dude, that's
any
the
other
one
regional
for,
edition.
It's the one for Italy. The one for Switzerland. They put Switzerland on. That's the 2000. That's the 2005 Italy one.
No, I looked it up.
Good.
2005 Swiss and the Italian and the Swiss. In 2005, used these. In 2007, that's when the bands changed to saying the actual name of the country as well. So it could be either or. It depends upon the size of the cigar.
Good God.
But both of those limited editions in 2005 had that exact same regional band. So it just depends upon the size of the cigar. And I don't know how big his fingers are. If he's got fat fingers, it could be a Robusto. If he's got skinny little woman hands like me, it's a PC, you know. So, not to be outdone by the next cigar, if you will. Next up, we have...
That's the Partagas Gran Reserva, isn't that? Yeah. I saw those.
Next up, we have a PSD4 2005 Reserva Cosecha, whatever the hell you say.
Cosecha.
And these actually were Cosecha. Yeah, all the tobacco was made from 2003, aged 3 years before it was rolled, and released in 2005. So, to my buddy who has this cigar, whose cigar this is, just so you know, look up any of these Reserva lines, and you will see these cigars sell for a lot of
shit
money. 10-count boxes sell for $1,000, you know, or $800 or something like that. So I don't know how much this one is specifically. I'm just saying in general, if you look up the Reserva lines in general, brand new, you're paying $80 to $100 a cigar, easy. So this is a very, very, very expensive rare cigar that has 9 years on it already. Ridiculous. Next one, this looks like a Presidente to me. I'm just guessing from the
that's a Presidente.
Judging by the look of the band, it's probably a very old Presidente, and by everything else. Next one up, San Cristobal LCDH, which is most likely the Mirala. The Mirala, I believe, is a, I think it's a Rodolfo size. I can't remember what size it is. It's a bigger pyramid. I want to say it's 54 ring gauge, 6.5 or something like that. I can't remember off the top of my head. I believe they were released in 2006. Either 2006 or 2008. I don't know. I'd have to look it up. But again, that's not as nearly as rare. The last two aren't nearly as rare as the rest. But still, unbelievable, fantastic smokes. And then here, final kicker. We have a God knows what this is. Other than it came from the 11th anniversary of the Partagas Festival. So, what you have there, buddy, is something that could only have been bought at the Partagas Festival. And God knows what it is, other than we know that it is probably freaking old and amazing. So, you need to thank your brother-in-law for not only giving you an unbelievably cool, rare humidor, but gifting you... 8 or 9 sticks that are probably worth $1,000 just for the cigars. You know what I mean? You could probably put that lot up and sell it for $1,000. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, maybe not that much.
I'm sure you could, to be honest with you. I'm sure you could. I'm sure there'd be someone out there, depending on how,
probably,
you know. Good God, man.
And really, when something like this comes up, you know, it's hard for us. Obviously, we don't have a ton of pictures and we don't have all the cigars in our hands, so it's hard for us to say, you know, all these are legit. If you sent us just one of them, I would question it. But really, when you see the fact the guy has a limited edition humidor from one of the festivals, He's got a festival cigar. He's got all these very, very rare edition limitadas and regionals. You know, your brother-in-law was a very, very experienced Habanos collector, and those are some freaking unbelievably fantastic cigars that I would savor every moment.
Dude, I hope you're taking care of this, sir.
Wow, my jaw dropped. He needs to go take him out to dinner. Like, why the hell would he give those up? Like, the dude must just have... Why wouldn't you tell him, you know what I mean? Like, at least, like, hey, dude, by the way, all these cigars I'm giving you are freaking priceless.
Yeah, so don't go handing them out. Smoke them. You know, the funny thing is, though, it's like every once in a while you see those cigars given out. And the best is when... Yeah. They give them to these guys who are inexperienced and young smokers, and then they keep the bands. And then they like walk to their local retailer, and they're like, "Hey, do you guys carry these?" And if the retailer knows anything, and he's like, "What?" It's like, "Geez, I mean, that's incredible. I mean, I don't even want to."
There's a shop about an hour and 50 minutes south of me. I actually drove by there today. I won't go in there anymore. But they sell fake Habanos. They got a stash of them. And the guy busted out a couple bags of Partagas Festival cigars for me, and he's like, "Oh, you'll like these. You know, these are the best of the best. You know, this is for you. You know, da 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 da." And I'm like, "Excuse me," and I'm just looking at him, going, "No way in hell these are legit, dude. There's no way your little shitty Cubador has freaking these things just hanging out in here. I'm sorry, you're smoking crack. Like, these are fake. Leave me alone." I was taking pictures of them and texting them to my buddies, going, "Look at what this asshole has. He's trying to sell me." You know what I mean? It was ridiculous. He wanted like $20 a piece for them, and I'm like, "If these were legit, you wouldn't want $20 a piece for them, you asshole. So just leave me alone, please." Ridiculous. Ridiculous.
It's hysterical. It's just like, wow. I mean, you got to go into some of these like really big LCDHs where they have like collections, and I think the owner's collecting them. He's the collector, and it's. He's got all these age and vintage cigars where you look at them. I mean, it's boxes. You don't even look at them. It's like you buy the box. Yeah. Boom, that's what you get.
They come in a humidor.
Yeah.
So the next one we had, the next submission we had from one of our viewers. And you had sent these to me.
Oh, yeah, the Ramon Iones.
Yeah, is my screen share up? Is the screen share up?
It is now.
There you go, okay. So, we had somebody send us a Ramon Iones box.
Gigantes. Oh, by the way, I scanned the box code. The box code is legit.
Oh, did you? Okay, cool. I didn't even go that far. I mean, the box looks wonderful. I mean, that's what they're supposed to look like.
Yep. I didn't know. I saw the number. I was like, "Yeah, I'll just put it in." Boom. It was code, and it looks scarce too. I was like, "Yeah, those are good."
So then we got a picture of the bands. Bands are beautiful. You can see triple caps. You can see
I love to see the new bands, by the way. I love to see the new bands versus the Ramon Iones I have, which are from like 07, 08, and it's got the shitty band.
Oh, terrible.
I know. I'm like, I got to buy new ones just so I can have the new nice bands.
That's funny. Inside of the box, what does it look like?
Mm-hmm.
And then a full-size picture. And I mean, really without – the gentleman sent us a bunch of pictures, and we both agree that they are legitimate. What I will tell the gentleman who sent them to us, he bought them from his friendly neighborhood local LCDH. And to the gentleman that sent us these pictures, I will tell you I fully endorse the friendly neighborhood local LCDH that you went to. The gentleman who is behind that that LCBH is a great guy, very legitimate source, good dude, and don't hesitate to order anything from him. I mean, I could have pulled all the pictures that the guy sent us and gone over everything to tell you guys, you know, how legit they were. But really, what it comes down to: look at the triple cap, look at the veins, look at the bands, look at the box, check the code. Which, go ahead and remind everybody where they can check the code too.
Yeah, I'll have to send the link to everyone. We'll put it up on the website, because I always just
Is it on Havana's essay? Is it on their website?
Yeah, I think it's like the top left corner. It's like verification code, and then it's like takes you through all these things to look for, and then it gives you the code scanner. But the guy who submitted them in, I looked at all these photos, and I don't know about you, I looked at them like, man, those are some beautiful Gigantes. Those look great. And I can't remember if he sent the box code or he showed or anything like that, but those are going to smoke nice. And especially with some age, those are going to smoke terrific. Gosh, it's one of the reasons why I lit one up tonight. I was just like looking at them, looking at all the photos he sent, I was like, I got to smoke one. So
that's funny. I ended up getting had a couple of Tasty Treats show up today, and I saw some Vegas Urbana Unicos. Have you had the Unicos yet?
No.
From Vegas Urbana?
No. I think you talked to me about it. It's on the bucket list.
Let's just say the darkest rappers, like straight up Maduro rappers, showed up today. So I'm very interested to see how those.
We'll see. Every once in a while, you get a really dark rap room, and it can be on anything, really. I mean, I've had some Monty Number Twos, which have had like this incredibly dark rapper, and then I've had some Monty Number Twos, which have had a lighter rapper. This still smells great, but it just goes to show. It's almost like, you know, if you had gotten the right year, those probably could have been Limitada rappers or, you know, whatever rappers, because that's what they do for it. I mean, they take when they make Limitada rappers or regional editions or anything along those lines, they look for the darkest rappers. They look for the higher primings, high quality dark rappers, and that's what they use for them, and they age them. So these rappers that are the darker ones are probably just rappers which just aren't at that quality to make a Limitada. But they're still damn good.
Oh, dude! I don't know. I'll fire one up here in the next couple of weeks and try them out. I'll make sure that you check them out here soon too as well. I just lit up a. I don't know if you can see it. Lights all jacked up, but I just lit up a Florida Cano.
Oh, nice!
And dude, it's super mild, isn't it?
Super smooth,
just
man.
Smooth like flavor. Super mild.
It's mild and flavorful, though.
I'm very surprised right off the bat how mild it is. And it kind of has that stiffness to it. It's got a little green tobacco on it.
Yeah, it's young.
Whatever. I don't care. But I love how the short filler sticks kind of have that stiffness to them, so I just want to get all like Clint Eastwood and gnaw on them, dude.
They're it's almost like they make a short filler cigar and they know they are making it, so they pack it a little bit tighter, just so that it's not really loose. And I think it shows, because you smoke a short filler Cuban cigar, and hell, sometimes it smokes better than a long filler non-Cuban cigar. So they do a good job with their short filler sticks.
I'm very.
On a completely random note. Because...
Well, I know we're going to get into that in a show here soon. That's one of our upcoming. I don't know when do you want to do that? Should we do that in August?
We can, the problem is we got to coordinate our July show, because I know that there will be a week Saturday here at IPCPR and everything. So we got to coordinate that. But yeah, we can start our short filler cheap sticks in August. I think that'd be a good time to start it up. Whenever. But by the way, and this is for anyone, did you see the box of the 898s on the form?
No.
Oh man, go check them out. The box of, someone got a box of 898s and they showed them Partagas 898s. They look great.
Really?
Yeah. It's almost like code? I don't think. Well, maybe did have a box code, but geez, it's like, man, I gotta go buy a box of 898s because they look good. So I hope they smoke well for them. If they do, I might have to reach out to them and be like, hey man, let's make something. Let's make something happen here. But nothing better than a good 898.
I know everybody's been freaking out over the mirror factory, so it wouldn't surprise me if it was a mirror box code. Honestly,
it's the factory right now, man.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think that's everything that we have for our show tonight.
Yeah.
At least everything we're going to talk about. So we have 10 minutes left to talk shit about anything we want to talk about now.
You know, I was tempted because Altada sent me some H. Upman bankers, some non-Cuban, yeah. H. Upman bankers, a bunch of like three-count boxes.
Yeah, is that a green-looking thing?
Yeah, oh my God. It's a green, it's like banknotes and everything like that. I was tempted to put it up there and be like, hey man, I need to buy a scooter. everyone chip in to help me get a scooter. You win some H. Upman bankers.
How many did they send you?
They sent me 18. It's like six boxes of three. I had this box from Altadas, and I was like, man, this is a big box. And I picked it up. I was like, gosh, it's not heavy, but it's like, you know, usually when you get like three or four cigars, you're like, it's not heavy, but you're like, man, there's a bunch of cigars in here. And I opened that thing up, and it's like six. It's like box. It's three cigars in a box, and they're all individually boxed. So it's like six boxes of these H. Upman Banker Toros, basically. And I was like,
does it look like? Is it the same similar packaging to like the little three packs by Habanos?
No. I'll post some photos up. No, I mean it's yeah. Nice. It's really nice packaging for what it is. And especially when you're sending it to online media, they do a really good job. So it's like six boxes, and I'm like, God, they must have made a mistake. I don't think I'm supposed to get 18 cigars. And yeah. So I reached out to like Coop and some other guys, and they're like, yeah, we got 18 cigars as well. I'm like, God, what the hell are you doing with it? We're like, oh, we're gonna give some away. And I was like, yeah, maybe I should sell them to get a scooter or a motorcycle. but I decided just to I'll give him away.
Did we ever get any update on that douchebag? Did he ever get?
It's done. He ended it. He only made like.
I wonder how much money he made.
$3,500, I think.
Wow.
It did not reach the goal.
Wow.
But you know, it's worth
$3,500 though.
$3,500. So, and I'm sure one of our viewers is going to be like, hey, I'm going to go tell this guy. And if you do, fuck you. So, that's all I got to say.
I don't care.
but it's he didn't get it. You know, props to him for trying. Good. He didn't get it.
Good. But, I'm so glad he didn't get it. I'm so glad he didn't get a motorcycle.
But no, he didn't reach the goal.
That's funny, man.
Yeah, that was so funny. But
awesome. Well, we may have to do a group review on those on Cigar Federation. See how they smoke.
I think Logie Bear said he didn't have a relationship, so maybe I should just send them for y'all to review. Y'all can get some boxes of them and be like, yay. So
that's weird. We don't have a relationship. You figure we would at this point.
Well, when you got
something, we do with General. General sends us.
Well, when you got someone like Logan running the operation for you, you're all fucked. So no, I'll get in touch with Logan and get that coordinated. So
nice.
Yeah, get you all. I don't know how it is. I haven't smoked it yet. I froze them just because it was like, God, you know, they came at a really bad time. So I put them in the fridge. I put them in the freezer for about 3 days, and I put them in the fridge for about a day, and then I moved. They're in my humidor, just chilling. So I was thinking about you when I did all that. So yeah.
I scored some original O-Sox. Scored a box of them.
The original O-Sox? So,
yeah, the 101.
Yeah, room 101 so, O-Sox.
Oh yeah, love them. I still have. I think I have. I went through like 3 or 4 boxes of those things, and I still have half a dozen of them or so left. And a box came up, and I was like, I don't need the whole box. I'll take half. And then I texted Logan because I remember he had a hard on. He's always wanted to try them or something, or wanted them. I don't know if he's smoked. He said he had one and it was all tore up, and so he's gonna split it with me. So they showed up. Yeah. Showed up today. Showed up yesterday. I haven't had a chance to open them up and check them out yet, but.
Yeah, I got a box. I bought a box from. I got Booth signed the box. I have a box tucked away of them. So it's one of those cigars. It's a good cigar, but it's just one of those things, you know. It's for Booth. It was one of those things. So
they're huge. I think they're freaking great too. Once they aged out a little bit, they freaking awesome. Awesome cigar. They'll only get better with age, especially with all the changes, profile changes from the size. It's just ridiculous. Ridiculous.
And you even think, you know, changing the Señorial by Jose Blanco is going to do really well with age. I agree with you.
I think so. I was texting a buddy about it today. He hit me up, who's a fellow Habanos collector, and he knows, you know, he knows my taste. He trusts my judgment on non-Cuban stuff. And he asked me what I thought about it. I told him, you know, that the first third was really, you know, it was really strong. So a Habano smoker is going to be put off by that first third, I think. Not necessarily the whole first third, but the first, like, half an inch or so. It really hits you hard, kind of like a DPG or an AJ smoke. And, you know, since it was something I was waiting to see what was going to go on. And I mean, I remember, well, I was chatting with, she was chatting with you the whole time I was smoking with it.
Yeah.
And I just remember just as soon as I got through the first half inch or so, it just started picking up like all this ridiculous flavor, and I was like in love, dude. I mean, to me it was, you know, I reviewed the Opus X Lost City Toro earlier this year.
Yeah,
it was better than that. It was better than that. And you know, it's means, a $7 cigar.
Oh yeah, it means that means a lot to me. And you got some. I gave you some Toros too, right?
Mhm.
Yeah.
I haven't had those yet. I started with the Corona, and I didn't realize how strong they were going to be as far as the nicotine was concerned. And it's just really nice to me when I, you know, I understand that there's a lot of people out there that like stronger cigars. And I think when you have guys like Jose who are blending, you know, Jose smokes 5 or 6 cigars a day. I mean, you can just follow him on Instagram or Twitter, and you'll see the guy smokes 5 or 6 cigars a day. So when you have a guy like that blending, they're obviously going to blend to a stronger palate because they need more because they smoke a lot of cigars, you know. And it's funny because I think in the industry you'll see these guys who jump into the industry and their first couple cigars are medium, and then after they've, you know, had some success, all of a sudden their cigars get stronger as they go because they're down in Nicaragua or the Dominican Republic, you know, smoking 20-30 samples a day trying to find their blends for, you know, a year straight working on a blend. So their cigars progressively get stronger and stronger and stronger, you know. But I have a theory that, you know, guys who smoke 5 or 6 cigars a day are blending cigars that they can taste. And so I think with this blend, you kind of get a little bit of that. But, man, the flavor change, the two changes were ridiculous. And the difference between, you know, something that he blended versus some of the other guys in the industry that maybe aren't as experienced or have been around as long is the finish. And really that's where you can tell. You can blend a strong cigar. I don't mind strong cigars, but they have to have the finish. You know,
you gotta do it right.
And to me, the CYB did it. You know, the CYB or the Herrera Esteli don't have the finish. The Signorio has the finish. I mean, it is just freaking wicked good. Like, you should be drinking the finest bourbons and scotches with it, eating the finest food with it. It just, yeah. So I have my, you know, for my taste, my guess is it'll probably take me a year or two to get that first third balance to where I like it. And then the cigar will just be phenomenal. But I don't see any reason why. I mean, you know, when I smoke Opus X, Triple X, or the Chateau, Reserve de Chateau, those are the two sizes I like. Those, for me, take 3 or 4 years before they balance out to where I like them. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And I think his cigar, given the price and the complexity and the depth and the flavor and the finish, dude, it's a freaking no-brainer. He had a home run, if you ask me. Absolute home run. And I'm surprised that the other guys didn't like it as much as I did, because I thought I was kind of going out on a limb a little bit, because it's strong for me. So I assume that it would hit more. My guess is it'll hit a lot of bloggers because of that strength. You know what I mean?
It has
the strength up front, yeah, to really knock out the Nicaraguan guys.
It's interesting because, you know, the two prototypes before, kind of like it came down to two blends. It was that one and another one. The other one was a lot softer. At least I thought so when I smoked them. It was just a lot softer. It didn't have all that, you know, strength that this one did. But, you know, at the end of the day, this one was much more flavorful than the other one. But pay attention to future projects. There's going to be, I think he's going to have a couple things which are going to be much more your pace. And
I'm sure I'll sit down and, you know, when I met him last year, and it was funny. He was like, I can't wait to meet you. And I was like, well, actually I met you, but, you know, I was brand new in the game, and I was just kind of standing next to Rob and Logan. So it wasn't like, you know, I didn't really talk to you. It was just kind of like, hi. In the 5 minute conversation that he had with Rob and Logan, I learned a ton from the guy.
Oh yeah.
I can't wait to sit down and just chat with him. You know what I mean? Because he's obviously very knowledgeable, but he's cool as shit. You know?
Really, really cool. Next time you see him, when you see him at IPCPR, just push Rob and Logan out of the way and be like, hey, you know, I'm here with Seth, even though Seth's not here. Let's talk. And then he'll bump Rob and Logan behind you. So you gotta do that. So.
You know, I mean, honestly, I'll tell
Jose to bump you in front of Robin Logan.
No, I'll make it a point to go hang out with him at some point in time off the floor. You know what I mean? When the madness isn't going on, because during the show and when the madness is going on, you know, you don't want to bug those guys when they're trying to make a living. That's their time to make a living.
They're busy as hell. Of course, I mean, Emma will be doing a lot of the work, and Jose will be doing what he usually does. But we've reached our hour.
How is your Gigante?
It's coming to a close, man. I've actually been friggin' champing this baby, but it's good, man. It's smoking nice for the age.
Yeah.
So.
Like sex or what?
Oh, it's good, man. You know, I love them young because they're strong, but man, with age, God, the flavors just really pop out of them. But I'll have the review up. I'm probably gonna put the review up Tuesday on this Gigantes.
Cool.
And so that's it, man. That's it for One Embargo episode 11.
11.
Next is Doce. And thanks for tuning in. I'm Big Tuna.
I am Catfish.
Check us out at HabanosCritic.com. Or forums.habanoscritic.com, or if you're at the Cigar Federation page, go up to the top right where it says Cubans, click on it, and you'll get directed to us. So, What Embargo. Good night, y'all.
If you guys have any questions, concerns, hit us up on the forums. We'll help you out, or shoot us emails. Either way, we will make sure you guys get taken care of. I don't know what we're going to talk about in our next show, but we'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out. We often do. So thanks again, brothers. Yes. Have a good evening.
Smoke long ashes and big Cuban cigars and yeah, everything else sucks. Bye.